You're listening to Married to the Ministry, which is part of the Love Worth Finding podcast network. If you are a pastor's wife looking for encouragement or for practical wisdom on how to manage all the challenges of your role with a smile on your face, we're so glad you're here. This is your host, Janet Addison, and I'd like to help you embrace truth and delight in your ministry life. I've just made some yummy hot tea, so why don't you grab a cup and let's chat for a while. Are you suffering from chaos, which is also known as can't have anyone over syndrome? I've encountered many women who are afraid to invite people into their homes because of all the mess. And I used to be one of those ladies. Our house was a mess all the time, and that caused constant inner turmoil in me. I was embarrassed. I felt guilty. I'm not a good mom, a terrible housewife. You know, I had a lot of stress. It caused problems in my marriage. No husband wants to step on toys in the middle of the floor or have to dig through a pile of papers on the table to find a certain bill he's looking for. Living in chaos does not bless our husbands, it doesn't honor the Lord, and it does not set a good example for our kids. At the beginning of the year, I told you here on Married to the Ministry that we're going to be looking at more ways to embrace delight in ministry life. So this is part of that delight series. And the biblical truth about this topic is very foundational, I think, because God invented organization. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but he's a God of peace. And in verse 40 of that same chapter, it tells us to let all things be done decently and in order. So our God is a God of ordered systems. And since we're made in his image, we crave order, and we're frustrated when we're not orderly or have disorganization. So if this kind of stuff doesn't come naturally to you, I've got good news for you. It's a skill you can learn, because I finally did. Proverbs 31 tells us to look well to the ways of our household. And in Titus 2, that famous older women, younger women passage, Paul urges us, older women, to teach younger women how to be keepers at home. So I've got three benefits. There are lots of benefits to getting organized, but having an orderly lifestyle for those of us that are married to the ministry, here are three benefits. Number one, so much of our life and ministry is spent reaching out to other people, investing in other people. And sometimes our family members are not receiving that same amount of input from us. And if we have a messy home, a disorderly home environment, that really gets in the way of family connections. So developing an orderly lifestyle is going to create more harmony in your home and help your family connect better, which is very important, you know, to build into our kids and into our husband and not just into the people at church. Number two, it's kind of relieve some stress in your head and in your marriage. And ask me how I know that. Number three, it can help refresh your husband. He is stressed out from ministry, especially those guys who are bivocational ministers who have a full-time job plus they're carrying a church load. All men in ministry, they're carrying money burdens, they're carrying people burdens, they're carrying, you know, old church building maintenance burdens, so many things your husband is carrying on his shoulder at work. So having a calm, orderly environment for him to come home to at the end of a stressful day, that is going to bless your husband, which in turn blesses your ministry also. Hebrews 12:11 tells us that no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Peaceful fruit of righteousness. getting our stuff organized will help us be organized. We're wanting to develop an orderly, organized lifestyle. That is peaceful fruit. Before we get to the practical steps for developing more order in your life, I do want to remind you about some of the resources available through Love Worth Finding that can help you grow in your faith. Today's culture of chaos definitely spills into our homes. And so if the desperate state of our world is stealing your joy, you may find encouragement in the article, Where is God in Today's Chaos? I'll put a link for that in the show notes. Now for the practical part. These basic principles that we're going to look at today can be applied to organizing any space. But don't feel like you have to tear through the whole house this weekend trying to get everything done, because that's not a reasonable expectation, and it's just going to overwhelm you and frustrate your family. So just start with one space, a closet or one cabinet or even just one drawer. I recommend starting in your master bedroom area, the private space that you share with your husband, you know, where y'all get ready for the day together. Most of the time, our kitchens or our kids' rooms can be overwhelming. So let's learn these principles in your bedroom first before you move on to more disorganized areas of the house. And of course, y'all know I love alliteration, so all these steps are going to start with R. So step one is reduce. Learn to practice streamlining, which streamlining just means reducing your stuff to a manageable amount. That's why we're so overwhelmed. It's just unmanageable. We have so much stuff. We Americans are addicted to stuff. And too much stuff is a trap. It's a form of bondage that prevents us from being and doing all that God has planned for us. So the secret to step one, reduce, is get you some black trash bags. Why? Because you need to start emotionally detaching yourself from your stuff and using trash bags and thinking of this stuff as trash. It may not be literal trash, but it is trash in your life. So we use trash bags, and the black is so nobody else in the family can see what you're putting in these bags, because you don't need to argue with all your family members about, oh, don't put that in there, I love that kind of stuff. Black trash bags, nobody can see what's in it. So you're going to have three, start with three bags. Label one, giveaway. One, label throwaway. And label the third one, put away. And go to your space, open the drawer, and take one item at a time out of the drawer. And ask yourself, for every single item, these three H questions. Number one, does this make me happy? Do I love it? Number two, does this help me? Do I need this? Do I use it? And the third H question is, does it have a home in my house? Do I have room to keep this thing? And does it go here? If you answer no to any of these questions for an item, put it in the bag. Put it in a bag, one of the bags. But which bag? Well, good junk, stuff that other people can use, like outgrown clothes or extra knickknacks that you have. Put that in the giveaway bag. Bad junk is stuff nobody wants. Torn clothes, broken toys, put that in the throwaway bag. And stuff that you're undecided about, maybe a keeper, but it doesn't go here, put it in the put-away bag. And I want to encourage you to be ruthless with duplicates. So much of the time, we have too many of one thing. For example, we don't need 15 bath towels. In our bathroom, you know, we'll use a towel, hang it up on a hook for 2 or 3 days, and then we'll put it in the wash. So if I'm washing once a week, I don't need 15 towels. I don't need 27 pairs of socks, you know, things like that. Be ruthless with duplicates. Be very reasonable about how many of these items do we actually need. Now, you may be thinking when you start going through the drawer, I can't get rid of this. My grandmother gave me this. Or you might think, we don't have enough money to rebuy this if I need it again later. But keeping stuff that you're not using is not a blessing. It's called hoarding. And honestly, I am always surprised at how many of the things that I'll pull out of a drawer, it's actually trash. It's either broken or doesn't work anymore or empty packaging, you know, tags of clothes that I've been wearing for 4 months, you know. So don't be afraid of the process. Go through it. And this is a spiritual exercise as much as it is an organizational exercise. God gave us permission to get rid of stuff. In Ecclesiastes 3:6, it says, there is a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. So don't hold back on letting go of some of the clutter in your life. Reducing stuff creates empty space. And some of us do not know what that even looks like. But don't be afraid of it. Empty space is your friend because you're going to need it in step two, which is rethink. You need to rethink your space. Look at your new uncluttered space that you've just worked on and, you know, analyze it. What was working here and what was not? What would help me the most if I kept it right here? Ask yourself those kind of questions. You don't have to store things where your mom did. You don't have to be limited by labels like linen closet or pantry. Space is space, and it's very flexible, so make it work for you. Look for hidden space. Look up. Look for vertical space. Can you add an extra shelf in your closet above the existing shelf? Maybe you can add hooks to the back of a door. You know, we have so much vertical space in our houses. Everything doesn't have to sit on a shelf or in a drawer. So start thinking about, you know, what can I hang up in some, or how can I use some of the vertical wall or door space that I have? Look for hidden space between things. For example, your washer and dryer. I found a little 4 or 5 inch wide rolling cart that I keep between my washer and dryer. Not only does it keep my washing machine from dancing all over the laundry room when the spin cycle is on, but it holds a lot of stuff. You'd be surprised at what 4 inches of width and like 4 rows of shelves can hold. It holds a ton of cleaning products. You know, the space between your mattress and box springs. If you're living in a small space and you don't have tons of storage space, consider using storing like extra blankets or extra sets of sheets or whatever between your mattress and box springs to free up closet space or drawer space. And honestly, went back to the duplicates, I like one set of sheets per bed. Maybe an extra for emergencies if all the beds are the same size in the house. But I hate folding sheets. And I hate using drawer space to store sheets. So I like to just wash my sheets, put them right back on the bed. And then I don't have to worry about where am I going to keep all these extra sheets. And then hidden space, think of, I kind of termed this instead of, and I'll give you an example for this. We had a closet in one house that it was a long, deep closet. It was a walk-in closet, but it was very narrow because it was just the width of the hall. It was at the end of a hallway. And it had one shelf and one rod on it. And so I took that rod and shelf down and put a storage system, like a Alpha storage system, doesn't have to be Alpha, but some kind of shelving unit on the wall. So I had the whole wall full of shelves, and I got so much more stuff in that closet than what was originally available to me, which is the one shelf and the one rod. So then as you're rethinking your space, I want you to add a purpose, assign a purpose to each area of storable space. What would help me if I kept it here? So this is where my blank goes. And then only put back stuff in that space that corresponds with the purpose that you just gave it. As you're thinking through where it would help you to have certain items, you might think, for example, if you have small kids who are always underfoot when you're trying to get ready in the bathroom, maybe have a cabinet in the with toys in it that your kids can pull out and play with while they're in the bathroom with you. Or we had one house where I had some weird high cabinets in the bathroom, and I'm short and I couldn't reach them. So I stored bulky Christmas decorations up there because I couldn't reach it anyway. Nothing else. I didn't need anything else up there. So use your space wisely in a way that makes your life easier. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody else. Make it work for you. Step number three is to rearrange. After you've removed the clutter, after you've created some empty space, after you've designated purposes for your empty space, now is when you can finally achieve that elusive place for everything and everything in its place that seems like a fairy tale to most of us. Take items out of your put-away bag that you were collecting and redistribute them to their new home according to the functions that you've assigned. And I think I forgot to tell you, when you come across things in the reducing step where you're, you know, asking yourself the H questions, if you find something that doesn't belong in a drawer, don't run around the house putting it where it belongs. Just stick it in the bag. Don't break your rhythm, because it's in this step, step three, rearrange, that you're going to put it where it goes. So I forgot to tell you that earlier. Sorry. Here's some things to keep in mind when you're rearranging and putting your stuff back in an orderly fashion. The number one rule of organizing is to store things where you use them. For example, Greg and I are, you know, getting changed in our bathroom. We kept our pajamas and underwear in the bathroom cabinets, so we didn't have to go out into the bedroom to the dresser to get our clothes. I keep our sheets, if I have extra sheets, which I know a minute ago I told you I don't like to keep some, but, you know, sometimes like flannels or whatever. If you have extra sheets, keep them in your nightstand drawers, because that's where it's going to be convenient for you to make the bed. You know, keep cleaning supplies in each bathroom. Store things where you use them, because you waste a lot of time walking all over the house getting stuff. And if you're like me, you've forgotten what you were looking for and you get distracted on the way there anyway. Number two is to group like items together in containers. Do not go to Walmart and start buying a bunch of storage boxes and containers. You've probably got plenty of Amazon boxes around your house already, or shoe boxes, even clean like to-go containers, or, you know, butter bowls or whatever. It doesn't have to be fancy organizing things to get you started. But group like things together in containers. You know, keep your dress socks in one box and your athletic socks in another box. Group all your hair products together in a basket in the cabinet. Group like items together in containers. Number three, hang as much as possible. Look at your stuff and you might be surprised at how many things already have holes in them, or they have a little loop on them or a hook in them or something. And if you want to hang something and it doesn't have a hole in it, then get a drill and put a hole in it. But, you know, purses, towels, all those things can be hung. You can fold sheets or tablecloths or whatever over a pants hanger and hang it in a closet. You can clip boots to a skirt hanger. Put a shoe bag on the back of a bathroom door, especially if you've got multiple family members sharing one bathroom and it's a pretty small space. A shoe bag on the back of a bathroom door to put, you know, assign each person a row of the little pouches and let them keep their hair bows or their, I don't know, skincare products or whatever, toiletries and things on the back of the door. But hang as much as possible. Again, we're using the vertical space, because think about it, you've got four more times of vertical space than you have horizontal space. You know, you think about a floor and then four walls. So, and I love labels. Use labels so you can remember where everything goes and your family can learn how to help keep order in the home. Labels are your friends. Even if you're, you know, just writing on a piece of tape, you don't have to buy a label maker. Don't have to make it expensive, but labels help a lot. give your decorative items a functional purpose. And this is something I like to do with sentimental items. Like if you have a bowl, a pretty bowl from your grandmother, use it on your dresser to hold jewelry, or use it on an entry table to hold keys or something. Instead of having a lot of different framed pictures sitting around on pieces of furniture that have to be moved every time you want to dust them, scan those pictures and get a digital frame so you can still see all those pictures, but it's only one item that's sitting out on your counter. And honestly, I love to hang my digital frame in my kitchen because I love to hang things. And then the last point on this is move the infrequently used items out of your primary living space, you know, the garage, the attic, the basement. And I like to use sturdy numbered boxes. Usually it's like Rubbermaid. I like the clear Rubbermaid boxes instead of cardboard boxes. And then I will tape a number on the outside of the box. I'll print them off on my printer so it's big and I can see it, or you can handwrite it. But just number the box. And then on a piece of paper that you might keep in your family notebook or an index card file, write the number of the box and then list everything that you put in that box. So that way you're not constantly scratching out what's in the box and rewriting new stuff. And, you know, it ends up being very messy looking. So this is the secret to living with a pack rat, living happily with a pack rat, as far as stuff goes. I grew up with a family member who was very, you know, my parents were Depression era babies, and that it was ingrained into them to hang on to what they had because they might need it someday. So that's a very common thing with a lot of people, whether they were Depression era kids or not. But for those of us who are not pack rats, that's very hard to live with all that stuff. And the problem with keeping everything because you might use it one day is, can you find it if you do need it in the future? So this whole numbered box system really helps if one of your family members is a pack rat and you really need to keep more stuff than you want to. This is a great way to keep it organized so they feel safe that they have their stuff if they need it, and you've eliminated the stress of, oh my goodness, where's that? You know it's here somewhere. If you have it written down on your little card file, then you know where it is when you need it. Step four is to refresh. Living an orderly lifestyle means maintaining order in real life. You know, you're living with other people, you're constantly bringing things in and out, your sizes are changing, your tastes are changing. So expect that you're going to have to occasionally refresh your organizational systems. Reevaluate your space and your stuff periodically to make sure the systems are still working for you, and make changes if you need to. You know, like when you're in a different stage of life, or maybe the kids are moving out of one size of clothes and moving into another, or, you know, we're moving out of one size of clothes into another. Get rid of an old one if a new one comes in. And honestly, if the old one still works, why do you need a new one? And we'll talk about that more in a future episode when we're talking about ways to save money at home. And the last thing is, I'm a huge proponent of getting your family to help, you know, teach them the system so they will know how to purge and streamline their stuff. And everybody's living in this house together, so everybody should be contributing. I'm, you know, all about teaching kids how to do chores, expecting them to do chores. It's part of being a family, and keeping a house organized should not fall on mom's shoulders alone. So the more you train your family and make it easy for them to help keep things organized, the less stress it's going to be on you and the less stress it's going to be on the whole family. Plus, it's a fabulous life skill that you're giving your kids. Well, I hope these tips have been helpful for you, and maybe you know, you can implement some of these in your home and help transform your desperate space into a delightful place where your family can enjoy building closer relationships, and y'all can be making sweet memories together instead of tripping over piles of laundry and toys in the floor. Can you tell I love talking about organization? I do, because I had to work so hard to learn how to do it that I just really got passionate about it. But I'm so glad you joined me today. And I'd like to ask you a favor if I could. It would really help us in our ministry to encourage pastors' wives if you could share this episode with a ministry wife friend that you might know who doesn't know about our podcast, and show her how to click on the follow button so she doesn't miss any future episodes. That would be very helpful and help us to support more ministry wives, which is our heart. So thank you for that. And until we get together again, friends, I want you to keep loving Jesus. Let's keep loving our husbands and keep loving our people.